Yeah. I'm going to preach on unity among believers, John 17. No, just kidding. That was last week, just seeing if you're paying attention. Today, I have a message that's going to be titled, Bird's Eye View. Bird's Eye View. You know, can I confess something before you? It's really personal about myself, and Pastor Ben says so many nice things about me. And, you know, you may or may not know. In fact, after I tell you, please don't judge me. Don't hate me. Just pray for me. Can you do that? Yep. Okay, here it goes. I'm not perfect. I know it's hard to believe, but yes, there, I confess that. I feel so much better. I feel so much better. How are you guys doing today? Hey, are you looking forward to the word? Are you spoken here today, or are you thinking about the snacks after? Okay, Yuki, it's time to repent. Praise God. You know, I looked online and I learned that, you know, we all of us who wear shoes, we're in kind of like the same shoes, but we just have different size shoes. I'm not sure what that means, but I just want to put it out there. You know, when people ask me, like at church or when I go around, you know how people greet you and ask you, hey, how are you doing, right? Oh, how are you doing? How are things going? And I find that when I ask somebody, sometimes, you know, they're hiding something. You know, they say like, oh, it's good. And, you know, their faces are down and everything is good. How I often respond, and you might have heard me respond to it, is I'm doing better than good and better than most. And because in my view, in comparison to the majority of this big world, it's true. You know, I'm doing better than good and better than most. And I believe every one of you here today can have that same actual view that, you know, compared to most of the world. You know, even in hard times, you're doing pretty good, better than good and better than most. Just a little update about my work. As you guys know, I have a little tiny little concession stand at the Newtown Golf Range. That's my plug-in. And it's a source of income, and, you know, God provides. That business is good. You know, in the past several months, we were dealing with a closure on Monday. So we were closed 4 days a month because the golf shop did not have enough employees to stay open. So when they weren't open, we couldn't open for security reasons. And so that hurt us a lot. I mean, you know, that's like losing the rent in 4 days, yeah, that we could have generated to pay. But praise God, you know, they finally reopened and we're, you know, we're back. We're 7 days now. We work more than God. You know, in just about 30 days, we'll have made 1 year in business. And so far, praise God, we're not in debt. We're doing okay. We're slowly building. And, you know, thank you for those who have visited me over there and a lot of support. God is good. You know, it's truly by His grace that He sustains us. It's His mercies. But because, you know, just the way we started that business, it's a miracle in itself. Anyway, let me get to the sermon here. So, you know, there's different points of view, yeah? Something we can look up, we can look down, and then we can look around, yeah? The term bird's eye view, it's a term that you've heard before, yeah? Have you heard of a worm's eye view? That's another, it's kind of the direct opposite. On a bird's eye view, it's like when a bird, an eagle or something, is flying above, and they can see, yeah? They can see above, and they can see the whole scope of things. On a worm's eye view, everything is really big, and you're just kind of looking up, and everything is big, and you have a limited view, yeah? And sometimes we as people, we just kind of look around, things that are around us, and that's a around us kind of view. Let me go get into the scripture. It says, what God sees in your notes? What does God see? You know, God is the creator. We are our creator. Proverbs 20:12 says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. God made it. He wants us to use it. Job says in 34:21, God's eyes are on the ways of men. He sees that every step. God is watching us. Every step, whether we sense it or not. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Wow. How God sees things, yeah? Sometimes we can think we are such smart people, you know, very educated and gone to 4 years or 8 years of college and just attain all this knowledge. But even the wisest of us here on earth is but foolishness in God's sight in comparison to His knowledge, yeah? I want to read Jeremiah 29:11, just in honor of my brother Omar, because that's his favorite, you know, and he was playing that song earlier, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to, I just want to start with that because I want to start with the premise that you know that God is for us. He's not here to harm us. His desires is good for us, yeah? So I want to kind of have you keep that in the back of your mind. I want to move into some testimony, just personal life testimony and, you know, things that have been happening, you know, just in the past month, yeah? So many things are happening. And my mom, she's just about 75 years old now. She used to help us at the Seaside Bar and Grill, you know, back when we had a restaurant in Waikiki. And, you know, she would be there every day. That's kind of like her pride and joy, just to show up and, you know, and she'll help, like, usher people to the table. She's kind of like a host, yeah. And since we closed that place, she's been kind of retired, so she doesn't do that anymore. So she still visits Waikiki just about every day in the bus just to, I don't know, she just gets memories and all that, yeah. Well, you know, my mom at 75, a few years ago, she was on vacation in the mainland, and I got a call, I remember, just about 9 p.m. at night over here, and my mom tells me, "Oh, son, I have a hard time breathing." I got worried because she was, you know, in the mainland, and I was over here. I couldn't do anything. So I told her, call the front desk and get yourself to a hospital, yeah? And praise God she did, you know. And then when she got to the hospital, it was diagnosed that she had a heart problem, yeah, from way back. And she has a leaky valve. So that means that the blood is not powerful flowing enough to get water out of your system. So she had trouble breathing her lungs, yeah. Probably, Omar, you probably know about that, yeah, like kind of hard to breathe, yeah. And this is just a few years ago, but praise God, you know, it was pretty serious. One of my brothers had to fly up, you know, he took off for work, flew up, and about a week later she came back, praise God, you know, got medication and all that. And just until about a month ago, I got a call from the hospital as well, and she also had to go back in again. And this time, you know, she thought it was something else, but it was pneumonia. You know, and it has complications because of her heart, and if she catches a cold, it's worse than, you know, it's worse than for you and me because of her heart condition. And she stayed there for a week with antibiotics and steroids and all those things, and it's just like, you know, she testified, she said, "Oh, it's hard, son, even worse than when I was in the mainland, you know, the first time that she had to go into the hospital." And so this was just about a month ago for this to happen, yeah. And it was stressful, but you know, we praise God, and then you know, she started coming to church at the beginning of this year. Her and my grandpa, I've been bringing them to church every week, just about every week. But for the last several weeks, she could not go because of her condition, recovering. Yeah, but thank God, you know, she was able to return home. And, you know, just about 3 weeks after this whole ordeal happened, so this is just about a week or two ago, on an early Saturday afternoon, I get a call from the police station, the downtown police station right in Chinatown. They told me that they had my grandpa there. Grandpa's 103, praise God. He still walks, talks, cooks for himself, and lives on his own. You know, he's doing something, right? I guess he's not eating McDonald's. But grandpa's at the police office, and I'm, in my mind, is like the first thought is that, oh no, did he break some law or something? You know, was he caught some illegal operation with, you know, playing mahjong or something in Chinatown? Or did he jaywalk or something? You know, that was the first thing that kind of crossed my mind, yeah? But later the police officer told me that, oh, your grandpa said his apartment is flooded, that his toilet couldn't stop leaking. So I talked to grandpa, and he went home, and I went to his house to meet him. And yes, his apartment was totally flooded. I mean, every part of that apartment was flooded. And I mean, I praise God for the neighbors who were helpful to help sweep out some of the water. And when I got there, it was still quite wet. Everything underneath the bed and boxes and just things were all wet, yeah. It wasn't a real huge place. His apartment was probably like maybe half the size. It's like a studio. And when I got there, you know, I was able to help him sweep it all out. I mean, it was really bad. So for a 103-year-old man, I you know, you shouldn't have to mop a floor, yeah? I mean, when you're 103, you shouldn't have to go through that. And I could tell it was really stressful for him. And I was stressed out too because I can see all the water damage and all that. And so I was there for about an hour or so helping him to sweep the water and use his little tiny mop. It's not the restaurant kind. It's the little, you know, hand wringing type, you know. So it took a while. But, you know, even though he was stressed out and everything, I was able to help him, yeah, get a fan going and get it all cleaned out. And, you know, he was very stressful but very thankful. And, you know, we do a lot of things for people. And for me, I felt like, you know, at that moment, just that little hour, my grandpa just helping him out, you know, it was most rewarding, you know, just to help a 103-year-old man dry up his flooded floor, you know. You know, so all this happened, yeah. And, okay, this passed and, you know, the maintenance was notified and they're going to come and fix the whatever the problem was. And so praise God for that. And just a few days later after that, I get a call from the hospital. Now my grandpa went to the hospital. I said, oh no, what happened, you know? And it turns out he has another plumbing problem. And so he was not able to urinate. He couldn't urinate. So that's serious, yeah, when you can't urinate. So it was painful. So they had to put a catheter and all that stuff in him. And, you know, this is, again, just a few days right after. And but I praise God, you know, he was able to release home with the catheter. And just a few days later, you know, he was able to go to the urologist and they were able to remove it. And he was able to pee on his own. Praise the Lord. Can you praise God that you can pee? I mean, we take that for granted. But, you know, even that. Yeah. And he is 103. Meanwhile, later that same week, my mom's apartment floods out because of a broken water pipe on the third floor. She lives, you know, there's like a government building. There's several floors. And there was a pipe that broke, and they couldn't do anything about it. They called the management, and because it was a weekend, it was a Saturday, they couldn't do anything. So it kept leaking, and she had to deal with it, yeah? And keep in mind, she just started to recover from her sickness in the hospital. So got this flood going on, and the management couldn't do anything. And, you know, she had to live in a puddle of water in her apartment. And, you know, she's trying to recover from her sickness. And, you know, 2 days after that, because of this flooding, the walls got weak inside her restroom. Her sink literally fell down, cracked. She slipped and her hand got lacerated. And 2 a.m, she had to go emergency, get her hand, you know, stitched up and all that. All within the same few days. Whoa, when it rains, it pours, don't it? It rains, it pours. And so I spoke to the management, and it's going to take about 2 to 3 weeks before her apartment gets worked on because the other two apartments upstairs have the same similar damages, and it's just a work in progress, I suppose. And just yesterday, I got a call from my building. I live in a condo, and the management says, there's a water leak in the ceiling of the apartment right above you, okay? So it was determined that, you know, we let him in to examine, you know, what the problem was. It was determined that my master bathroom had water leaking like somewhere from the toilet. So, you know, we can't use the toilet until we fully repair it and as well as reseal the entire restroom floor. So this is going to require like removing all the tile from the floor, have it all resealed, replace whatever needs to be replaced to make sure, you know, no water gets down and so forth, and all leaks would be done. Yeah. And I'm dealing with all of this while preparing today's message. So just to give you, so you'll be so show me so much grace today. Yeah. But praise the Lord. God is good all the time. You know, he does not allow more than what we can handle. Yeah. He gives us grace and mercy. You know, prior to this year's ordeal, last year I was dealing with in September of last year. You know, God has been good. I mean, I've been in business for over 20 years. So I do have a property that I rent out. And my manager, who manages the property, gives me a call in the mid-September of last year. He said, the tenants have to move out. They have to move and they have to go. And so, okay, so look for another tenant, right? 2.5 months passed, nothing. You know, in the meantime, you still got to pay your mortgage, your maintenance fee, and all that kind. So it was a heavy a heavy draw, yeah, on your savings and all that. And then, but finally, praise God, you know, just about another week later, you know, he was able to find a tenant. So it was almost about 3 months vacant, your property. And At least he got a tenant. But then just that very same week, I get a text from the property manager. Says, "Oh, your fridge is leaking water in the rental. It needs to be replaced because it's almost about 7 years. Your oven door rusted out and broke. That one's about 10 years. Okay, it needs to be replaced. And you need to replace both of your restroom shower faucets because they're kind of frozen up and it might be leaking. So both sides has to be replaced." So there goes the 2 month rents that I was expecting eventually down the line. I'm praying, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have grace. His grace is sufficient for us, right? In our weakness, His strength is made perfect." You know, just this past Tuesday, I went to Sam's Club, had my eyes examined, and just to get your eye checkup. Yeah, I advise you should get your eyes checked up, you know, at least once a year. And the optometrist says, I think, you know, looking at your records, your pressure seems to be increasing from 2014 to now. It went from 14 to 17. So we need to reschedule you for a glaucoma testing because your eye pressures are increasing and, you know, your peripheral tests weren't so great either. How many of you hate those tests where you have to look in the thing and you got to see the squiggly thing and you got to click? I just don't like that one. But anyway, I didn't do good on that test either. So, you know, he said if you don't treat it, you know, you might develop, you know, cataracts or even lose your vision. So, you know, you better pray hard and go for the testing and maybe get kind of medication. But, you know, praise the Lord, yeah? I got to have my vision because the scripture says, without vision, my people perish. So, better maintain the vision, huh? How many can thank God for vision that you're able to see? We take those things for granted, right? These little menial things, we take it for granted. You know, I guess when I tell you all these stories, you know, in these circumstances, like the song we sing, when the oceans rise and the thunders roar and then these mighty storms are coming, just like the song we sung, you know. But God can help us through these storms, amen? Storms of light, you know, we must have a proper view of how we see all these things. You know, what I'm going to do here, this isn't going to be very spiritual. But this kind of applies to my life, and you know, you can take it for what it's worth. I want to quote a Rocky Balboa 3:16 verse to you. It's not really a verse. I just call it 3:16. It says, it's a speech that he used in one of his movies, and it was kind of inspiring. It's about winning, yeah? It says, "Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done." Okay, that's my best impression of Rocky Balboa. You know, to win in this journey of life, in this Christian life, in any life, we must keep moving forward. No matter how many times you get hit with life's troubles, you got to get up and keep moving forward. You can't get incapacitated. I could have easily called Pastor Ben, "Oh, Pastor Ben, my toilet leaking. I'm not going to show up today. Oh, I cannot go to the park," this and that. Any excuse. The most dangerous things about excuses is that they're usually valid. And it's how we interpret and use them, yeah? Excuses. How many has used an excuse before? Use your kids for an excuse to leave early. Use your health for an excuse and so on and so forth, yeah? But when it's something that you really want to do, oh, you know, no excuses. You just go and want to do it, yeah? You know, through all these stories, though, it sounds terrible and sad. And, you know, I had a choice to make, right? I could sing this song of "Woe is Me" and cover myself with ashes and put on sackcloth like Uncle Job, you know. But no, I didn't do this. But I did share all these needs with my prayer group, you know. I showed up to prayer every Saturday morning. We have prayer at our church and, you know, different days, and that's my spot. And I requested for prayer for each of these incidences, for each of these things, and I'm still praying for a lot of those things. And, you know, I'm not telling you all these things to get your sympathy, but I do want to encourage you that, you know, the truth of the matter is that stuff happens in life, yeah? And how we respond to it will lead us into, like, different endings. You know, I can praise God or I can complain to God, you know? I read that God dwells in the praises of His people, amen? So, you know, I believe that I need His presence even more during these times of storms, you know. I need more of His strength. I need to have a proper view of the things that are happening so that I don't go off course or lose faith or quit. the things that we go through sometimes, it's our own doing sometimes, right? Sometimes, how many know can attest that? Sometimes the things that happen is our own doing. You eat too much, you get fat, you have cholesterol, whatever. That's your own doing, right? Nobody broke into your house and stuffed food in your mouth, right? Sometimes it's us. But sometimes it's uncontrollable source, right? Sometimes it's just the testing. You know, I don't know how to discern all the things that happened to me or my family and all the things in my life. But, you know, these things have not been revealed to me yet. But in time, I believe God will reveal those things. And I remind myself that God is for me, right? So who can be against me? God is for me, right? He has been good to me. I've seen his goodness, right? So, you know, I recognize that in everything that happens in my life, it has purpose. It has meaning. So when things come into your life and you're experiencing hardships and things like that, you know, don't take it like you're being attacked every time. But sometimes it's just that you need to go through it to experience it. Sometimes it can make you better or it can make you bitter, right? You can choose how you react or respond to it. You know, knowing that when God has your back, right, his plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you. If you know that as a basis of your belief, it's like, well, these things happen. Yeah, okay. But God is for me. You know, he's going to use this in some manner for my good to build me up, right? Praise God. You know, God is one who is abounding in love. You know, it's important that we take the proper perspective of view, right, of view. You know, sometimes when we are in it, the in it view, life seems so overwhelming sometimes, right? But when you step back, right, you know, you hear like, you know, sometimes you got to step back or step out of it, because when you're in it, it's like all around you and you can't see a way out. But when you step out and you step above with a bird's eye view from above, you know, even though there's a stress and all that, you can see clearer. You can see better, right? You know, sometimes I'm sure most of us has experienced it where we've gone through things, yeah? And there might be a situation that would have rattled your world, you know, at the time that it's happening, stress you out, you know. And but after going through it, after it's passed and you've gone through it and you've come through it, and as you kind of look back, right, it doesn't affect you as much, right, as it happened. You don't have that same anxious feeling as you did as when it did happen. For example, like when I found out that my son Joshua had that eye problem, right, where, you know, when he had a full cataract and all that. And we went to the optometrist and they, you know, things were moving fast. And but, you know, when the doctor gave us the news that, you know, he's probably not going to be able to see out of that eye, you know, we were devastated. Yeah. Our emotions were like, you know, like just like to the floor, like this little boy, right, you know, to lose his sight at such a young age, it's like it doesn't seem fair. But, you know, but after so many years, yeah, and you know, there's operations and many things that happened, you know, there were some slight improvements at the beginning, at the middle of last year after the last surgery. But as of late, you know, his eye again reverted back to its not so good type of condition. But we're still hoping in the Lord, you know. And today, it's not that we don't care, but it did not affect us the same way as when we first got the report. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how many can relate to that. You know, sometimes things that happen at that moment, it's going to pass. I have this saying, and I coined this phrase. You can quote me. You know, this like gas will soon pass. Things that, you know, it's going to pass, right? It might be sore for a moment, but it's going to pass. Let me get to a scripture here. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is kind of like a better version than of the Rocky Balboa speech, yeah? You know, things that you know, as Christians and in this life, you know, our bodies are very fragile, you know? If I stop you from breathing, I think you're not going to make it. You know, we're so fragile, our bodies. And when things happen, you know, God promises, you know, although it happens to us, we got to get back up. You know, even though we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed, you know. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. God is with us. You know, people strike us down, things strike us down, but we're not destroyed. God gives us enough strength to get back up if we trust in him. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, you know, but those who hope in the Lord, I'm sorry, I skipped the scriptures itself is closer to the second page. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is one of those scriptures that most of us have memorized. How many memorized that scripture before? Pretty much? Okay, that's all right. Thank you for your honesty. But that's a good scripture to memorize, yeah? You know, putting our hope and trust in the Lord. You know, God will strengthen you by His word, by His spirit. He renews our strength. God will deliver you through and eventually out of the storm. He doesn't necessarily take the storm away. That's our first prayer, right? We like it to, God, take it away. But sometimes God doesn't take it away. He allows us to go through it. And there's a purpose in there, yeah, to strengthen us, to trust in Him even more. God enables us to run the race and not get tired. How many get tired sometimes? How many tired right now? How many need a double espresso right now from Starbucks? Yeah, we get tired, right? And God enables us to continue to walk and not fall or lose heart, you know. God gives us the strength. You know, as I was reading up on this a little bit, I was studying about eagles, right? Because we're talking about a bird eye view. And eagles, here's some interesting facts that I read on eagles. Eagles are at the top of the food chain. They call it the apex predator. They're like, you know, the king of the jungle, but king of the air. There's over 60 different species all around the world. And some of the largest species have a wingspan of 7 feet 2 inches. That's huge, yeah? That's like if Pastor Ben was 7 foot 2, the wings would be like that, right? They can carry in flight on their talons usually about a 4 to 5 pound catch. Keep in mind, the eagle is only about 10 pounds now. And it has been recorded that a large bald eagle, flew some distance with a 15-pound deer fawn, meaning that this guy, something's heavier than them that they were able to catch, kill, and take off with them. And then the largest recorded eagle killed the largest recorded deer kill of 82 pounds. I'm sure they didn't fly with it, but the bird, the eagle, was able to take down an 82-pound deer. That's amazing, yeah. I don't think they flew with it, though. I'm sure it's, yeah. Some of the other amazing things is that eagles have eyesight that are stronger than humans, 4 to 5 and sometimes 4 to 8, depending on where you get your information from. The sight, yeah, the distance of sight. They can spot a rabbit, you know, when they're flying like that, 2 miles away. That's how strong their eyes are. Their eyesight compared to their body, you know, us eyes, as a 10-pound eagle, their eyes is about our size. The size of our eye, and we're much heavier, yeah? How many more than 10 pounds? Okay, praise the Lord for your confession. But, you know, their eyes are that strong, yeah, and big in comparison to their bodies, yeah? Some amazing thing about the eagle is that their courtship is in the air, and they lock talons, and they do this cartwheel thing in the sky and all the way to the ground. It's like they're testing their mate to see their commitment or their strength flight skills that, because when they mate for life, yeah, that's how eagles are. And they test it, and they go on this cartwheel, freewheel spin all the way to the ground, and it has been known that some of them have not released and then even fall on the ground, but somehow they survive. So can you imagine before we courtship our spouses that that we get that kind of testing? Oh, come on, honey, let's jump off the cliff. You know? Wow, then you can count on them, yeah, to always be there. You can count on them to be a good future mate, yeah, till death do us part, not only words, but, you know, for real kind, yeah? And eagles live for about 35 years. It's amazing. Eagles are admired as a living symbol, right? Power, freedom, U.S., the United States, that uses as the bald eagle, right? You have silver coins, you know, a lot of times it's the eagle. And not only the U.S., but many places like Ghana, Poland, Romania, Mexico, they use the symbol of eagle because of its, you know, its power, the freedom it represents, the transcendence, the spiritual, you know, beyond the physical, you know, the representation. Well, I kind of moved away from the message here. So let me ask you this question here today, since you are here and I have your attention. So how is your view of life today? Are you one who can't get up and feel that you can't wait to get up and feel that sleeping is a waste of time? Anybody think that sleeping is a waste of time? No? Or are you one who wears out that snooze button, yeah? That infamous snooze button on that alarm clock. And you don't want to really open up your eyes to another dreadful day. Why do some people get up early and they're so excited about the day and they are not waste any of it? And conversely, why do some people wish the sun never rises and want to recede back into that darkness under their blankets? I believe it may be something to do with how a person views their lives. I guess if you're overwhelmed with problems, responsibilities, commitments at work, at home, abroad, and yeah, you know, maybe it seems to be safer if you remain underneath your blanket. But the reality of life is that, you know, it goes on, and you can hide for a little while, right? But sooner or later, you're gonna have to get up and get on with life, right? You're gonna have to get up and get on with life. Do you view life as a gift? And if so, how do you use this gift? How do we view life? Are you one who operates only on what is close proximity or view? You know, you can label that as micro view, yeah, like things that's just really close. Or do you have a larger scope? Are any planners here? Any good guys plan? How many plan your day before it goes in some time of your life? Maybe nobody plans their day, or plans maybe a week, or plan a month. I know Pastor Wayne, they plan out the year or something like that. And, you know, like who speaks and where they go and what seminars and all kinds of stuff. So planning is good. Yeah. Planning is good. So that's kind of like a macro view of life. Yeah. People who are successful tend to plan way ahead of time. You know, they don't start the day until they've planned the day and already kind of know what they're going to do. So do you live life with little direction, kind of like floating along or whatever direction the water flows, go where the wind takes you? That sounds romantic, yeah, and adventurous, but you're probably just in a state of drift, right? Like a dried, broken-off branch floating down a river or a stream, your destiny is where the water flows, takes you, and it may not where you want to end up, and certainly not where God wants you to end up. Do you feel happy only when circumstances go your way? Do you feel sorry for yourself when nothing seems to go your way? What does the Bible say about how we are to live this life? What perspective or view does the Scripture teach us to live by? 2 Corinthians 5, 6-10 in your notes, it says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. Can we say that? For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This verse recognizes that we're not home yet, right? This is not our home. So long as we remain in this physical body, no matter how strong it is, or some of us is not so strong, we are away from the Lord. That we ought to live by faith and not by sight. And so it's easy to say that verse and quote that verse, but it's hard to live by, right? To live by faith and not by sight. You know, it's meaning that you know, we don't see it, but we will believe it to be or will be. Our view is just to operate on the basis of faith in God and not rely on only the physical side of things that we see, the happenstances and the things that are in our lives. Our goal is to please God and it's not just trying to get the favor or blessing, because He already has blessed us, amen? But because of who God is, we need to keep in mind that we are responsible for the things that we do while in this body He's given us, whether good or bad. We are all accountable to God for how we live in this life that He has gifted us. So we should view this life as a gift, right? We are to be grateful and live with a view that God is watching over us all the time. Nothing and no one escapes His sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account, right? That's what the Scripture says. You know, even those who wronged us, God can vindicate. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, amen? We're not there to pay back other people for when things are done to us. We often think of sin as something that's wrong that we do, right? Something like we broke a law, yeah? And you get that police, call from the police station or your son or, you know, something like that, right? But we often forget that, you know, the Scriptures also says that to know to do good and not do it, that is sin to us as well. There's so many things that God has called us to do. And if we're not doing it, that's sin before the Lord, right? The scripture says in James 4:17, it's not in your, I don't know if it's in your notes, but it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Like today, Pastor Ben had asked me to speak to you, and I could have easily gave an excuse and said no, but I know it's a good thing to do, and if I don't do it, it's sin to me, and it'll be counted to me as sin, right? So what has God called you to do? Something to do? What's stopping you from doing what God's calling you to do? You know, we got to keep in mind that God is compassionate and he's gracious, right? He's slow to anger and he's abounding in love. You know, when we are able to revert to a view that's trusting God for all things, even in the midst of our storms, right, in life, you know, to see with eyes of faith and not physical eyes only, you know, God always, always, always comes through for us. Not always in the way we want. We wish it was, right? But his perfect will comes to pass in our lives if we trust in him. Amen? Amen. I want to read the verse 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and to present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Can we say that? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not what is seen but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, even in our most times of hardship, suffering, you know, God becomes our strength. You know, no matter what we go through, with the view of God in it, you know, he's willing to help us through it, right? He wants to build us in strength and perseverance so we could get through it. You know, we can be assured of his promises to bring us to an end that is always for our good, because God is good, right? The things that we experience here on earth will, in retrospect, be just a light and momentary trouble compared to the eternal glory that God has prepared for those who believe in him. You know, I heard it spoken this way, right? I think Pastor Wayne preached it about, you know, when you try to imagine what eternity is. He said, if you took a little string and then you put an arrow on each side and you fired the arrow as far, miles and miles away to one side, and then on the other side you fired till you can't even see the string, that little scratch on there, put a little tiny mark on it, like a little tiny pencil mark, in comparison to, like, as far as east is from that little scratch is our lives on earth. It's light and momentary in comparison to eternity. So, you know, the things that we face, the things that we go through, it will pass. And in comparison to the glory that God has prepared for us, it's just a moment in time. It doesn't seem like it when you're going through it, right? It's hard when you're going through it. But just keep in mind, in that bird's eye view, when you take a step back and see that, wow, eternity is a long time. This is just a little short while. I mean, we hear, right? There's persecutions around the world. In America, it's not as heavy as we can see in other countries, where it's illegal to preach the gospel. It's illegal to proclaim Christ. And people literally die for it. They get beaten. They get hung. They get nailed on the cross. They get drugged through the streets, you know, because of their faith, right? And we don't see that as much. But even those, right, though they suffer, it is still a momentary thing in life, you know, in comparison to eternity. Yes. So his word says that he's never going to leave us or forsake us, and that his way, God's ways, his thinking, his ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the scripture tells us that no weapon formed against us, the enemy who comes against us, is going to prosper. Nothing's going to be able to take us down if God is for us, right? You know, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? You know, in closing, you know, in Hebrews 4:13, The scripture always speaks to me. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. He sees everything. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. One day we're all going to stand before the Lord, right? Nothing is hidden from his sight. You can hide in a cave, hide under your bed, hide under a blanket. You can try to hide, but God sees it all. You can hide from people, you know. I can hide from Pastor Ben, right? you can hide, right? Right? But God sees it all. You know, God did not promise you that this life is all going to be like a joyride. You know, it's not like a rose garden. He said that in this life, there will be troubles. He said that if they persecuted me, Jesus says, they will persecute you. Honestly, no one likes suffering. How many enjoy suffering? How many wants to suffer? Say, I'm going to get it today. Can't wait to go get some suffering. Right? No. Nobody likes suffering. Nobody likes hardships. Nobody likes trials. Nobody likes tribulations. But sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes it's the only way that God can draw us closer to him. Because when things are fine and dandy, where's God? You know, it's good, man. Everything's good. There's a human tendency to forget God when times are really good and prosperous, right? But when things are hard and there's no solution in sight, when the doctor can't heal the eye, right? When your business is failing and, you know, there's just certain things that you can't control, then we turn to God, right? That tends to be human nature, yeah? So sometimes these things are allowed to happen in our lives. It's not to harm us, but it's to build us up, to draw us closer to him, right? Sometimes God has to break us before he can make us. The scripture says that we are predestined to be more like Christ, right? Our transformation, our sanctification, like God saves us first, and then he wants to transform us to be more like Christ, to increase in the measure of the fruit of the Spirit, right? How many knows the scripture? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Maybe in some other translations, right? He wants us to increase in that fruit, yeah, of in that measure. And he wants us to be more like Christ. God does promise us an abundant life, but we need to have that in a proper view of what abundant life in God's context. If you have the forgiveness of sin that God has given you, and you have put your trust and faith in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you, my friend, already have abundant life. Everything else on top of it is gravy or whipped cream with the cherry on top. Every blessing after that is already above and beyond. So I'm going to leave you with this question here today. When you look at your life from a bird's eye view, do you have this abundant life operating in you? You know, regardless of things that are happening, your hardships, poverty, or health. Are these, you know, how are you living? Like when things come your way, how do you deal with it? You know, do you revert back and say, "Woe is me," you know, and tell everybody about your problems so you could get some sympathy or empathy and all that? Or do you stand strong and say, "Lord, you know, you're for me. Who's going to be against me? Lord, I know it's hard now, but I know you're taking care of me. You are watching my back. You know? Nothing escapes you." You know, the psalmist says that he's in the details of our lives. You know, every little detail, you might think he doesn't know, but every little detail, even the emotions that we feel, he feels it. He knows it. You know, the amazing thing, I heard it once preached by a pastor. It says, God knows the number of hairs on your head. Not just the quantity, but the number. So when you're showering, right, and number 3,473 and 3,474 fell off, he knows. That's amazing, right? That should ought to kind of put you in awe that God knows us that well. You know, we cannot escape from him. He knows us, right? And so I want to encourage you today. You know, I shared my testimony and the things that I go through, and I'm still here standing here today because I know God is good. You know, those things are going to get repaired. I'm going to get my floor fixed. God will provide. Yes, it's going to cost money, but God is going to provide. You know, he's going to take care of me. He has done so in the past, so why should I believe any different in the future, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we get that into our system and into our hearts, we can have confidence in our lives, regardless of what comes our way, regardless of what hardship comes our way, right? God can get us through. Amen? Amen. Hand the time, Pastor Ben.
Wow, what a message. And I tell you, we need to hear these kinds of messages every now and then, because we know, hey, come on, sometimes life is not going to go as you want it. And we know sometimes life can be really difficult, as, you know, people can be difficult, or situations may arise where, man, you just feel crushed. You ever feel like that, where it just seems like one thing after the other? And but we know, right? We put our hope and trust in God. God says he will never let us down. Amen? That you can put your whole heart on the line and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. I know you're going to help me through this. That I can be confident that you're going to see me through. And in the end, there is great victory. And, you know, I just want to say this scripture once again that my brother went through in Isaiah 40, 31. Why don't we read it together? It's on the bottom, Isaiah 40, 31. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. And that's what we want. We want to put so much hope and trust in God that we know that whatever comes your way, you can hold on to the word of God. And you know you will be victorious in Christ. And, you know, I just want to share this with you. This happened just yesterday. And, you know, I forgot to tell Johnnelly about what happened yesterday. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, I was getting on to Kalani Anaoli Freeway, right? It's Kalani Anaoli Freeway. Okay, and I got to tell you, straight ahead, it was about maybe, I would say 200 feet ahead, I saw this truck, right? And it had a mattress and a box spring. And I was like, oh, okay. I saw it way ahead. And, you know, yesterday was really gusty, right? And I was getting closer and closer, and suddenly I see the mattress and the box spring just starting woo, woo, woo. And it started flying towards who? Towards me. And I'm like, oh, it's coming like this, right? It went boom and went straight up and went coming towards me. I'm right behind. And I'm thinking, oh no. And I'm thinking, is it going to hit my car? And I was like, Lord, help. You know, and I remember seeing it just and flying up, and then it hit the ground. And I didn't know what it was, the mattress or the box ring, but I knew something was right in front of me. And I knew there were cars on side of me. I kind of go on the side. I got to go straight. I was like, Lord, let it be the mattress. And I went zoom, right? And as I went straight ahead, either it was going to be the mattress or the box spring. And as I went, brack, guess what? It was the box spring. And I was thinking, oh, no, what's going to happen to my car? You know, but I went brack, and then I went right over it. And I was thinking, Lord, why wasn't it the mattress, right? And but, you know, it was already that, the you know, the plastic part underneath the car was already kind of dragging a little bit, but this time it was making a lot of noise. I was thinking, oh no, you know. But, you know, suddenly I could have started complaining. I said, Lord, why didn't you put the mattress there, right? But, you know, my heart, because I was listening to like sermons all morning and all driving and stuff, I just said, Lord, I thank you that this mattress or box spring didn't come straight for me. It could have hit the windshield, and I could have been seriously hurt, because I was right there. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I just heard the prack, 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 prack. And I was just kind of singing along with it. Prack, prack, prack. And I'm, praise God, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know. And then I just kind of stopped. I looked underneath, and praise God, you know, the thing had come off the plastic. I just popped it right back in. I said, thank you, Lord. That's all. No damage, no nothing. I went right over a box spring. But, you know, that's the thing. When we put our hope and trust in the Lord, he will renew our strength. When you get in the habit of praising God, you know what happens? Things will happen in your life where you're not going to be happy. You're going to be just miserable. You're going to go, oh, no. But you realize, you know what? God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen? You know, God's going to see you through it. No matter what difficulties you may have in life, you know, God, he holds you by the hand. He says, child, you belong to me, and I love you so much. And as we put our hope and trust in God, God will see you through the most difficult of situations, and he will always hold you so close to him, because that's how much he loves you. Amen? And we can trust that God will see us through. No matter what your situation you may be facing right now, God says, I already know about that. Give it to me. Amen? As you fully give it over to the Lord, you know what? He's going to replace all the difficulties, all the stress. You know, it still may be there. But as you give it over to him, guess what happens? He's going to give you his strength. He's going to give you his peace so that you can keep your head up high, knowing that your Abba Father is there. And he loves you so very much. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for my brother Julio giving this message this morning. Father, it really touched my heart. I praise God, Lord, for your word. And I know you spoke through my brother Julio. And I know, Lord, everyone in this room I know is so touched by your words. And Father, will you help us? Because we know in this life, as Jesus has said, there will be trouble. There will be tribulation. But he says, take heart. Take heart, for I am here. Jesus says, you can hold on to me because I have overcome the world. And you can look to me, you can trust that I will see you through whatever life's difficulties may come. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize there are times I don't fully trust in the Lord. I know troubles may come and I start to really get anxious. I really start to worry. But I know, as I heard the scriptures today, I'm going to hold on to the word of God. And I'm going to find strength through him. And I know in the end, my arms will be raised victorious because it is Jesus that has raised my hands in victory. He gives me the victory because I trust in him. And if this is your heart's cry, you're saying, Lord, give me that confidence. Give me this ability to just continually put my whole heart in trusting in you. If this is your heart's cry, you're saying, yes, Lord, I need more of that. I need more of this confidence. I need more of you in my life, that I need to trust in you with my whole heart. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else saying, Lord, more of you, as I decrease, may you increase in every way. Father God, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Saying, Father, forgive me of those times that I didn't fully trust in you. But from this day forward, I know I'm going to look to your word. I'm going to look for your strength to come upon me as I learn to trust in you more and more each and every day. Father, I thank you for what you started in our lives. And what you will continue to do, Father, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, Amen.